There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Yes, yes, yes. You are now rocking with the best in prime time. It is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast in prime time. Today, me and G Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty, are going to break things down. Roseanne got fired. Pusha T came back at Drake. Serena Williams is back in business and unranked and still kicking ass. Plus, one of the best players in NBA history to never make an all-star game. He kicked ass with ice water in his veins. My main man, Mike Bibby, is going to break down his thoughts on the Golden State Warriors and a little bit of NBA talk with my man. Yo, he was ice cold Mike Bibby with the Kings throughout his entire career. But first, me and G Moody are going to set the table. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast in prime time. Miles Jordan, let me start this shit with something funky. Hey, hey. All right, G Moody.
Yo.
Last name rhymes with duty. We are hours away from the NBA Finals. We know where you stand. You nervous? You fuck you?
Nope.
You're not nervous?
Nope. Everybody says my guys are not going to win a game. Underestimating one of the greats. I'm not gonna go that far. I'm gonna say I got him. I got LeBron to win this shit.
Okay.
I know it sounds crazy.
Okay.
But hey, he was down 3-1.
So you don't look at your guy as an underdog, because it's weird, because I've noticed, and you tell me if you agree with this. You're G Moody, last name rhymes with duty. You're sitting there saying he's the best, he's this. A few days ago, he's better than Jordan. He's better than this one. He's better than that one. And then all of a sudden, when he gets to match up against the Golden State Warriors, all of a sudden, he's Rudy. All of a sudden, he's Chuck Wepner. All of a sudden, he's this big underdog. 270 pounds, 6'9", greatest player of all time, is somehow, we're supposed to feel sorry because he's an underdog, because Golden State has this player, Golden State has that player. Do you feel like your guy You don't feel like he's an underdog. You feel like he's going to win.
Hell no. And he's not an underdog. They're just acknowledging he got a bunch of fucking winos that he brought to the finals.
Oh.
So people are acknowledging the lackluster teammates. Okay. And they're saying, wow, he brought those guys here. Now let's see this dude. If he could get it done, he is the greatest with these motherfuckers.
Oh, if he gets it done with them, you won't hear a peep out of me ever again.
Yeah, right.
No.
Say something. Listen, you'll say something.
I'm trying. See, no, you shut up. I just said if he gets it done, well, I'll be backed into a corner. Even me, the MVP of talking trash, unfortunately, I'll be backed into a corner. But it ain't going to happen. Kevin Durant is going to bust his ass.
You really think that?
He did it last year.
No, he didn't. He averaged 34. Who's getting their ass bust?
Kevin Durant.
Averaging triple double. You think this dude is better than him?
I'm not talking about better than him. I'm not talking about anything. I was at two of the games. Kevin Durant.
He had two good games.
He averaged 35 last year against him.
And LeBron averaged what? So what you saying?
Who won? You're acting like this shit is.
And my man won the year before.
Yo.
And then your man went to the team that got all the All-Stars.
You talking in the past, Duke. You still talking about 2012. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Your man's getting his ass cracked, and it's going to end in five games.
Yeah, you were saying that this whole playoffs, each team. You said you're a broken record. You said the same fucking thing. Toronto, Indiana, this one. How's he going to make it with them? Yo.
That was all for the gram. You know what it is, Duke.
You don't know what it is.
You know what it is, Duke. Let's make a bet. You tell me what you want to make the bet. Since you want to be Mr. Predictions and you think he's with Buster Douglas.
I don't got a fucking bet.
Make a fucking bet. No, you make a fucking bet.
I tell you what it's going to be. The Cleveland Cavs will win.
When this series is five games, boom. What are you going to say?
He lost. The fuck? What you want me to say?
See,
he
lost. So it's easy to go out there and be like, oh, he's going to win, and then there's no ramifications. I want some ramifications for your words.
Well, if I lose, then I lose. That's the ramification. Why don't you just pick your man and say, yo, he's going to win, and we'll see.
They're going to bust their ass in five games. Again.
Okay.
That 3-1 shit was a fluke.
Okay, yeah. Everything, it's a fluke. 3-1. Think about that. In the finals, this is your crew with all the
Draymond
the great shooters.
Guy, he got him suspended. That was your man.
Okay. It can't just be, yo, he's nice, and he won. Your man with the burner accounts on the sucker shit. That's your crew. These dudes. Money with the burner accounts critiquing himself.
Yo, you could keep talking about burner accounts and leaving OKC. You had Mr. Morris, the Minister of Defense, the artistic director of the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, do a thing saying, leaving OKC. No one wants to play with Russell Westbrook. You should be commending Kevin Durant for getting the fuck out of there while he still had his knees intact. I'm moving on. Your guy's getting his ass kicked.
Okay.
Speaking of burner accounts, I need to step my burner account game up because Brian Colangelo is about that burner account life. Brian Colangelo of the Philadelphia 76ers, the president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers, is accused of having up to five burner accounts. This is so way out there. The president of basketball operations, the guy who's in charge of all things basketball contracts, who we're signing, Mr. Trust the Process, apparently had five burner accounts where he was talking shit about Jahlil Okafor, Joel Embiid, snitching saying Jahlil Okafor failed a physical and all kinds of crazy. Have you heard this story?
Yeah, man. Yo, he's a fucking sock puppet. a sock puppet GM with burner accounts. Immediate fire. There's no, once we investigate and we find out you got more than one, it's over, man. How you going to embarrass the Philadelphia organization? They look like clowns. And that dude, man, sock puppet, lamb chop.
I really need to step up the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast burner account game, because this is a reality out there. Other companies have burner accounts. And if anything good comes from this, people with the burner accounts are going to get blown up, because this guy is, he runs, he essentially makes all basketball decisions for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he had five burner accounts?
What an immature, you can't have that guy.
This dude's like 60 years old.
Yeah, you can't have that guy running the team with burner accounts. Yo, get rid of this dude so you can look serious in the public.
One thing we're going to do on this particular primetime episode of the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast is we are going to answer more questions from the fans, primetime subscribers, premium subscribers of the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. You can call us anytime, leave a message. We will answer your questions. We are going to play the shout out today, and we're going to answer all the questions from the fans today on this I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. In prime time. Speaking of Instagram, burner accounts, getting fucked up social media, Roseanne Barr has probably ended her mainstream career as a television actress. Roseanne Barr most likely will probably never be on mainstream television, network television, ever again. Everybody knows the story. She made a comment on Instagram comparing Valerie Jarrett to Planet of the Apes, meets the Muslim Brotherhood. Wanda Sykes went on Twitter and said she's quitting the show. A couple hours later, ABC canceled the Roseanne Barr show, which is fucked up for everybody but Roseanne, because 250 people that were working on a show who had nothing to do with Roseanne, grips, hair and makeup people, wardrobe, electricians, and so on, out of work because of Roseanne Barr. The double standards were brought up by the president himself, Kathy Griffin, Jemele Hill. Neither one of them are fired. I'm going to throw this at you, G. Moody. Last name rhymes with duty. Do you think Roseanne Barr, her show should have been canceled?
Yeah, you should be fired. And think about it. Was it absolutely necessary for her to tweet that bullshit when she tweeted it? And she said Ambien is responsible, like, you know, the after effects. No, it just unlocked shit that was in your mind, and the drug just made you more, you know, you lose the inhibition, and you just put it out. So that's what it is, and you should lose the show. And the people that you fucked over on the show that had nothing to do with this, they should step to your ass and sue you for all that lost wages. Fuck that.
They can't sue her. They can't sue her. Cause
they should do something. Step to this. Do something, man. Yo, how you going to do that? You the star, right? The star is the lead. Mm. You're the leader. Doing that. And I saw some shit on a post about with her and a Hitler thing. I don't know what that was about. I'm just saying, why do that?
Yeah, she...
That's totally unnecessary.
But then Dick Stain, Donald Trump, and Sarah Huckabee, they came out today pointing about the double standards of Kathy Griffin, although he tried to ruin Kathy Griffin and Jemele Hill.
That's true. That's true, too. She had this dude, the president's head cut off, and what happened, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's true, too. That can't be just discounted. That makes perfect sense.
And now people are calling for the firing of Bill Maher, who, of course, said... He had used the N-word earlier in the year. People went crazy. He apologized. He apologized to Ice Cube on an episode. That was the show back. He had Ice Cube on. He apologized to Ice Cube. And now people are saying he should have been fired.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to hold it to the same standard, right? She was gone. So what happened? Why not him? That's a fair question.
And also, within the last 24 hours, Donald Trump, for some reason, was having a pep rally in Tennessee, and somehow, some way, because he always figures out a way to bring up Hillary Clinton, even though it'd be like if Dr. J was talking about the one game that they lost in the playoffs when they won the championship. You already won the championship. Why are you talking about the one game you lost? Remember they went they wanted to go 4-4-4 and they went 4-5-4. If Dr. J was still crying over the one game that they lost, even though they won the championship, this is like Donald Trump. He's still talking about Hillary Clinton.
Hey, rub it in their faces, Donald.
At a pep rally in Tennessee, also, I don't know why you're having a pep rally, Duke. I don't know why you're having a pep rally, Duke. He went on to talk about Jay-Z's filthy language and how Jay-Z was up there and the words he was saying were so dirty and he made me look like Mr. Clean and he gets bigger crowds than Jay-Z and Jay-Z and the words he was like acting like he was like playing around like he was so offended by Jay-Z's filthy language and how he had Hillary Clinton up there and he still lost and yada, yada, yada. Why are you talking about Jay-Z, Duke?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Keep Hove out your mouth, Duke. We know how you get down, Dick Stain. You're on tape talking about grabbing pussies. That's some Kool G rapping polo shit that never made it to the album type of shit. That's like some NWA shit. That's like some Eazy-E, Luther Campbell, 2 Live Crew shit. And you're talking about Jay-Z? And you're like coyly offended, like, oh, he was offended by Jay-Z. And he's doing like his fake oi, oi, like, you ain't Jewish, Duke. Don't do our affectations. That's Jew shit. We don't fuck with you. And then the world's biggest reality star met the former world's biggest reality star today. Kim Kardashian went to the White House to talk to Dick Stain Donald Trump about prison reform.
And to get somebody pardoned. Get the woman, a woman pardoned.
And I will bet that she pulls it off. She's going to go in there with a low-cut dress, some mascara on, batting her eyes, trying to act all professional, but she knows how to throw around her sexuality and charm the pants off of Donald Trump, who we know is a pussy chaser in denial. He's like on the lam. He's like the Henry Hill of chasing skirt right now. You know he wants to be getting nuts, but he can't. He's going to smell that Kardashian pussy, that Kardashian snapper, that perfume, that magic that they have, and I will bet you she gets this woman pardoned.
All right. We'll see. I don't think so.
That I guarantee you she does it. I guarantee you she does it. She's got the pizzazz. Those women know how to charm. They know how to talk. She's probably been practicing. She's been schooled. She knows what to say. She's going to disarm this dude, and I'll bet you she gets this woman pardoned.
Oh, okay. It's just for one person, or is it really prison reform? Are you just going there for one person, or is it for the whole system?
I don't know. I don't fact check, but I know specifically there's one person that she has a vested interest in.
That sucks.
Finally, with the Kardashian / Jenner's / reality stars, I'm very concerned about potential NBA Rookie of the Year. He's dating Kendall Jenner, Ben Simmons of the aforementioned Philadelphia 76ers. Ben, what are you doing? What are you doing? You see what she did to my man Blake Griffin. My man Blake Griffin got a hold of Kendall Jenner, and now he's in Detroit. And you fucking around. You're playing with fire.
Damn, another one. I mean, they should just have them chicks at the combine, at the NBA combine, just sizing motherfuckers
up. It's like the movie Get Out. It literally is like the movie Get Out. Like they just like pluck them off of Instagram.
Yeah, they're all rookies.
Yeah, they get the young guns.
Yeah. They should be at the combine.
They should just be at the draft.
Naked.
Adam Silver, and instead of having Adam Silver announce the number one pick, let the Kardashians go up there and announce the number one pick and let them just pluck them like fucking apples off a tree.
like those old boxing girls that come out with the cards. They come out naked with the draft number.
All right, let me take some phone calls from some of the people that we had call into the show. Again, you can reach us at 213-457-3704. Call us anytime. We're answering all questions from all the fans. You can give us shout-outs, but questions are fantastic. Question number one comes from...
Hey, my name is Angie, and my question is a joint question for both of you. Since you've been friends for a really long time and have the same interests, can you name the top five events that you have been to together that were just really cool or dope?
I'll go number one. Being at Union Square Club in New York City, Hip Hop Club in New York City, DJ Red Alert performing, Sparky D, look her up, on stage performing, and I fainted in the club. This is 1986.
That's it.
What comes to mind with you, Moody?
Oh, that fresh. What, remember that Fresh Fest in Long Beach? Run DMC, LL Cool J. That was 85. It was a concert out in Long Beach, California. We didn't go, but we was outside, and we saw Cool J, Run DMC, Jam Master J, and all of them. We was chilling with them, so I remember that.
I'll go with being at Madison Square Garden in 86, when you could still sneak around Madison Square Garden. George Gervin was still on the Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan was either in his second or third year. And we somehow snuck courtside. We were sitting in press row when the press used to sit on the right there in the front row. We were sitting there and we were watching Michael Jordan go to work on the New York Knicks. And we saw George Gervin and heard George Gervin go, ooh, get him, young fella. Get him, while he was on the court. It was like he was commentating the game.
Absolutely.
I got another one. The summer of 1986, Magic Johnson's midsummer's basketball game at UCLA. Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Magic, Isaiah, Mark Aguirre, UCLA. I remember being, we snuck into the tunnel with Sean Higgins, and Sean took a picture with him and Charles Barkley in their prime.
Yeah, at Pauley Pavilion. Yeah. And remember, we used to watch the practices too at Pauley Pavilion.
We used to see those guys play pickup games, Magic, Isaiah, Mark Aguirre.
Yep.
I'll do the last one. Me and G. Moody, I think this was 1987, walking down 40 Deuce Times Square in New York City when Times Square was still a shithole, looked like it was right out of the movie Taxi Driver, walked right past young Iron Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was in a Fila sweatsuit with no shirt on underneath. He must have got cut in sparring. He had a Band-Aid or a bandage over his eye. Walked right past Iron Mike Tyson, and we were like, oh, shit, that's Iron Mike Tyson. And I remember saying Iron Mike Tyson because he had just been on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yep, I was there. I was 40 Deuce, no doubt.
All right, so that's our top five. We could go on and on and on, but that's our top five. That's a good question. Question number two from the fans.
Yo, Rap, I wanted to say fantastic show. My question is, when you guys going to get Shannon Sharp on the show?
Question is, when are we going to get Shannon Sharp on the show? Open invite. The dude is busy. I've talked to him about it. He said he's down to do it. Just got to find the right time. I know I could say for both of us, that motherfucker cracks me up.
Oh, man. I don't miss him. He reminds me of my uncles down south. That manner of speaking, the Southern, Georgia, South Carolina. Man, I could watch that dude all day.
Shannon Sharp will be on the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast at some point.
What's up? My name's Jared. I'm from San California. My question is, what does G. Moody do for a living? I'm just interested.
What does G. Moody, last name rhymes with duty, do for a living? G. Moody?
I'm a landlord right now, B. Real estate.
In the Boogie Down Bronx?
Yes.
G Moody landlording tenant services are available for anybody in the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yeah, don't have all these motherfuckers coming up here. You'll be vetted. Just
Hey, yo, Rap, G Moody. Quick question, man. Back on the Kendrick Lamar thing. So how do you feel about, you know, like Big Pun and Fat Joe using the N-word and, you know, them not being black?
That's a valid question. You know, I'll let Moody speak on this, but, you know, I know, like, in especially New York City, like, black Spanish people, I could just go from growing up around it. Like, that's just the way motherfuckers talk. Mm. You know, I think motherfuckers just kind of look at each other like, you know, we're the same, we're on the same page, we come up the same, everybody speaks the same vernacular. And, you know, I could just speak on growing up in New York City around Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and black people. That's my two cents on it. They're not kicking me off motherfucking The Roseanne Show. Moody?
Yeah, so growing up, blacks and Puerto Ricans, the blacks are usually the majority. And, of course, you know, Puerto Ricans hear us talk and stuff. We take from each other. And it means, it's just a round the way New York City thing. And that's why they don't get really flack for it, because we grow up with them. And it's been like that, you know, so, but nobody else could use it. And I mean, no one should use it, but nobody's outside of that who don't grow up together. And we kind of feel like, you know, Puerto Ricans are brothers or whatever. So that's how, that's why they, you know, can, I don't know if they can say it. They probably, that's why it's not looked at in any way. That's my opinion.
Hi, Michael and Gerald. It's Michelle, the New Jersey rep and the teacher rep for the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. I've been with you guys since the first episode. Love the podcast, always have. My question is, you have two Best of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast volumes, volume one and two, your Best of. Will you be making volumes three and four?
Shout out to the teacher rep in Jersey, keeping the kids filled with knowledge. We see you. We see all the work. Yes, the classic Best of One, classic Best of Two are in the record books. Of course, we'll be working on Best of Three and Best of Four. Probably have those out sometimes in the summer. The hits just keep coming. We appreciate all the support from the New Jersey rep of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast crew, a.k.a. the Rapper Pack. All right, those are good questions. Keep the questions coming. We're going to answer all of them on premium episodes, on regular episodes. The more, the merrier. They inspire good conversation. We want to hear from the fans. We want to hear what you like, what you don't like, what's good, what's not good, what pissed you off, what you agree with, what you don't agree with. You know how to reach us. You can reach us at 213-457-3704. Moody?
Yes. Oh, I have this shit, man. I had to tell you this. This is the new hustle, I call this. A Portland, Oregon bar hosted a White Guilt Wednesdays for all black people and gave them $10 as they walked in. The $10 was symbolically gifted.
Get the fuck out of here.
By white people who were told not to come to Reparations Happy Hour. A local activist group is responsible for this. They wanted the event to be a space for black people in a mostly white city to meet, organize, and discuss things. You couldn't do that at home?
Yo.
You couldn't do those?
Was it actually called White Guilt Wednesdays?
I made that up. But it is called Reparations Happy Hour.
Wow.
You can, yo, this is the white guilt industry, and I imagine there'll be white guilt for telethons, game shows, white contestants playing for black families. It's going to be some shit coming now.
Yo, that's a good one. That's a fucking, that might have to be a t-shirt. White Guilt Wednesdays. We make it like it's a fucking bar. Like, yo. G Moody, last name rhymes with Dude. That's why the guy won co-host of the year for the last 3 years. All right.
Word.
Coming up next, one of the greatest players to never make an all-star team. Ice cold water in his veins. Talking some shit. Talking game one. Talking some of the hardest people he had to guard. Talking some of the greatest shit talkers he ever played against. My man kicks ass in the big three. Good dude. Can't wait to do the full Mike Bibby. Coming up next on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. All right, as I mentioned over and over and over, the finals are starting Thursday. Before the finals, Thursday evening, before game one, I am hosting a question and answer NBA Finals trivia game where you can win cash from your couch. It's easy. I've played it before. That's why I got involved. This app is called Swag IQ. Okay? Download Swag IQ now and be ready to play with me Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, where you can win money, real money. You can win $3,000 by answering NBA-themed trivia questions. You think you know the answers? You can try to cheat. You can do whatever you want. I will see you. I will be hosting it this Thursday before game one. All right. I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. My man, Mike Bibby, NCAA champion, ice cold water in your veins throughout your career. And I got to tell you something, Mike B. I did a quick fact check, which is breaking the cardinal rule of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. And I was reminded that you are one of the baddest motherfuckers to ever play in the NBA who never made a fucking All-Star game, Mike.
No, I never did.
That is some bullshit.
I said I was blessed to just even play, you know, fulfill my dream. I was blessed with that and play with the teams that I played, but I felt good about it.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about you during the playoffs, and obviously the iconic Kings teams, is you were the dude when, especially in those tough series, you were the dude, in my opinion, who the ball would get to. Some people didn't seem like they wanted the ball. You seemed like you went to the ball to get the ball to take the big shots. You know about pressure. You know about playoff intensity. The Sacramento Kings crowds had the cowbells. They were loud. They were hyped. When you think about those pressure games, how long would it take? Because we're getting ready to get into the finals. How long would it take for you personally for it to feel like a regular game? Like, would you have like the anticipation beforehand and extra butterflies beforehand? Because you always seemed cool, calm, and collective.
I definitely, you feel that coming up to the game. I think once we got the jump ball tipped, I kind of got back to normal. You know what I mean? It was just a regular game as far as being out there on the court and playing in front of you know, the fans. But I mean, when there's more on the line, obviously it's a different game. But, you know, I put myself, when I work out and I practice, when I'm in the game, I feel like I'm ready for those shots that are coming up. So when I shoot those shots, every shot I shoot, I thought was going in, regardless if I missed or not. I mean, I worked so hard that every shot I took, I thought was going in.
Well, you played like that. You were just nasty, cold-blooded, under the radar, never. And, you know, the funny thing is you know, I was thinking about, like, obviously totally different, you know, size, different comparison. But the thing that you have similar that reminds me, just in terms of low-key, I don't feel like he gets the credit that he deserves, even although it's a different era. But just, like, going over the fact that you never made an All-Star game, you both are sons of former pros. You know, Klay Thompson, you guys play totally different positions, different size. So segueing into Golden State, Cleveland round four, what do you make of this series, you know, just before it even starts? Like, what is your take on it?
I think it's going to be a good series. You know, I mean, LeBron always brings his A game. It makes the guys around him better. And the Warriors are one of the best teams I've seen, you know, maybe almost ever. You know, as far as you got guys that can score, you got guys that do everything that needs to be done. And you need teams like that to win, as far as guys that have roles and guys that are willing to take on their roles, you know, are usually the good teams. You know, usually the teams that aren't that good is, you know, you get guys that think they should be scoring when they shouldn't. And, you know, it kind of plays into the team. It kind of messes the team up. So the teams that you see are good are guys that know their role and will come in and maybe it's for 10 minutes and just, you know, get dirty, you know, rough somebody up a little bit. If that's what his role calls for, you know, that's what it calls for. You know, good teams have that.
You know, it's crazy when you said rough somebody up. You know, the NBA, It's changed so much even since when you left the league. And you're a young dude. You're busting people's ass in the big three. You're on the new Mike Bibby 50 Cent diet. You're Cock Diesel. you're lifting weights and all that stuff. But, like, is there even room for roughing people up in this NBA? Not to say, like, it has to go even back to the 90s. But, like, when you say rough people up, what can you get away with now compared to even when you played?
I mean, it's different. It's definitely different. You know, I mean, like, you know, harder fouls, they let go. You know, now it's just, you know, I think they're trying to protect people a little bit more. You know, in the 90s and the 80s, it was rough. I used to watch some tapes and that it was rough. You know, fists were flying. And, you know, I mean, back then it was only a $500 fine, if that.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, I know they upped it. But, you know, I mean, I just think the game's different. You know, it's not like how it used to be. And, you know, times change, the game's changed, and people got to understand that. You know, it's a different time.
Do you think one of the things that I've been harping on, and I hate to harp on things, and I know times change and the game change. You were a point guard. You know, you weren't like flashy. You weren't one of these ankle breaker dudes. You were like a boom, boom. But hand checking was still, especially when you first got in the league, you were allowed to hand check. Now you see guys flailing and not flailing. You know, they're getting shaken down to the ground. And I've come up with this theory, and you tell me if I'm wrong. The reason why guys are getting shaken all the way down to the floor is because when you first started playing, as a defender, you were able to sort of put your hand on somebody and almost like have leverage. That's why you're not getting shaken down to the ground. It happens like every single game because you guys, as the defenders now, have nothing to lean on. How much of an advantage do the offenders have now, the person with the ball, now that you can no longer hand check?
I mean, it's a great advantage. I mean, like with me, I like the physicality of the game. You know, everybody's professionals. They're strong. They're the best of the best. And you should be able to touch the guy, body the guy a little bit. You know what I mean? Playing against the best in the world. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's being called or how they call it nowadays, but it's definitely a disadvantage for the defense. Defense is hard anyway, you know, and so for them not to be able to touch them makes it even harder. You know, that's why I think so much points are being scored. And, you know, guys are having such great season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not to say that guys wouldn't be able to adjust, but I just think that, like, you know, you look at a guy like James Harden, he's ridiculous. He's incredible. You know, LeBron, all these guys, Russell Westbrook. But I just feel like if there was some, you know, like I saw a foul get called the other day in the game 7 of the Houston, like the guy barely had his fingertips on Steph Curry and they call a foul. And, you know, and I get the beauty of the game and the 3-point of the game, but I feel like there has to be a happy medium to give the defenders some advantage and have these, you know, these guys are getting shaken down to the floor. And it's not just because the ball handlers are so much better. I think it's the defense. All right. This conversation is super, it's repetitive, it's redundant. You probably get asked this when you're at the gym. You probably get asked this when you're getting coffee. LeBron, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, you played against Kobe in his prime. You played against LeBron. You played against Jordan in his reincarnation. If you, Mike Bibby, were picking a team, each one of them in their primes, based on everything you know, you're the point guard. You got to pick one of these three guys. Who would you pick first, and why?
I mean, you could go all the way down the line. I feel like me as a kid watching Michael Jordan, I think he's the best to ever do it. You know, I mean, you could look at it all the way down the line. You could look at the bigs or whatever. I think Michael Jordan's the best to ever do it. I played against Kobe. He's so fearless, and he's like a. Like a younger Jordan, you know. Obviously, he did his game after Michael, and you know, I mean, like I said, Kobe was one of the best that I've ever played against, as far as being out there and having the strive, and how hard he worked and all this stuff. You know, it was amazing. I also played with LeBron. LeBron is a different stature. I mean, his size, his speed, how high he could jump, and still doing it 15 years later.
That's amazing. Crazy.
You know what I mean? So I mean, you could go all the way down the line, but you know, just from those three guys at different parts of my career at that time, you know, when I was younger, Jordan was the best player, in the world today. You know, playing against Kobe in his prime and doing all that, you know, on my way out playing with LeBron and seeing what he's doing now, you know, you could have answers for everything. You know, it's going to be a never-ending debate, you know what I mean? And I mean, you could, they're all great players. I mean, great, great players. Probably top three to ever do it. And I mean, you can't lose with whoever you take.
If I was to ask you, okay, forget those three guys, guys that you played against, who would be the next three? If you said, okay, Kobe, LeBron, Michael Jordan, let's leave those out of the conversation. Who are the next tier of GOATs that you played against, that you're like, these three guys in any position?
I think Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
He's just relentless how hard he plays, and you don't see anybody play that hard all game. And, play against Tim Duncan.
Mm.
Like I call him Mr. Fundamental. He'll kill you every way without barely jumping off the ground. And,
come on, you're the point guard, man.
I know. I'm trying to think. I mean, just for the top people to come on my head, it's hard to think right now.
J-Kidd.
Right, I looked up to Jason Kidd growing up. So he was always, my favorite player growing up. So, I'm always biased for him anyway. You could go all the way down. I like Dr. J. I watch the basketball. I'm a basketball fan. And, I just love watching good basketball. Guys that work and put in the time and do all that stuff that other guys don't want to do, I smile at. Because, that's the same way I used to be. I used to put in work, all day, every day, and wouldn't stop. I do it after games. I do it after practice. I do whatever I can just to try to get better. So when those shots came in that game, Mike, that I knew that I was knocking down because I shot so many of them.
You were nasty, Mike Bibby. You were a nasty, mean, cold-blooded motherfucker. And I say that with all due respect and affection. You were a mean fucker. Mike, all right, let me ask. All right, because we're going to do the full Mike Bibby this summer face-to-face when we're on the road for the big three. Golden State, Cleveland, the series hasn't started. Mike Bibby's professional opinion, who's going to win the series and why and in how many games? I know predictions suck. Anything could happen. We hope everybody remains injury-free. Give me your prediction, Mike Bibby.
I think the Warriors win in maybe six. I mean, Warriors, like I said, is one of the best teams I've seen in a long time as far as everybody can shoot the ball. And everybody plays together to win. You're not going to see a guy out there powdering because he's not getting his points. And, you see that sometimes in the league. And you don't see that from that team. And that's why that team's been at the top.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, if somehow, some way, barring injury, and as much as I want Golden State to win, I don't want anybody to be injured on Cleveland. I don't want any. I want everybody at their best. And I guess they're at the best they can be, except for Kevin Love, and I'm sure he'll make it back at some point in the series. I want these guys to duke it out, and let the greatness be on display. Let me ask you one final question, because like I said, I want to do a full Mike Bibby, because your career is so under the radar until people, look at the highlights and they're like, oh yeah, that motherfucker was nasty. As far as playing defense, who was the guy you needed to get the extra tape on the ankles, the extra night's sleep, and an extra sip of coffee before the game going into? Like, who were the three guys throughout your career, that you had to match up with? You were like, I need to make sure I'm at my best to guard.
One would be Stephon Marbury.
Mm.
He was he was quick. He was strong. He was going to get 30 shots a night. So when you came to play him, you got to be ready to play. And like I said, he's probably the strongest, quickest. And if he gets hot, he was hot. So him, Steve Nash. You have to run around Steve Nash because Steve Nash is so crafty and
right.
90%, 50%, 40%, and he, you have to play, go through a lot of screens,
mm-hmm.
and play defense, and he could score 50 on you. And Nate Robinson.
Oh shit! Now Nate, you see Nate on the gram. He's looking like he's ready for that action for the big three. Now you said he was.
I am too.
I see you on the gram too. I see you on the gram, too. I mean, I'm expecting the competition was fierce last year, but now everybody knows what it is. And you got, you're ready. Nate's ready. You got Amari. You got fucking Meta World Peace. Like, this is going to be some shit this year.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. You know, I think a lot more people will be watching. You know, it broke in big time. And I think, you know, nothing will be going on that time. So it's going to be, it's going to be live this year. And you're going to be able to see it hardcore and up front on live TV.
It's going to be dope. All right, Mike. Mike Bibby, I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. Quick hitter. We're going to do the full Mike Bibby during the summer. I appreciate it. And I'll be talking to you soon, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast in prime time. I want to thank our guest, Mike Bibby, G Moody, last name rhymes with duty. You know what it is. No more talking, only doing. NBA Finals. Next time you hear from us, one game will be in the books unless something crazy happens. And then, of course, we'll be doing an emergency podcast only on the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast app for premium subscribers. Every single person listening, hearing my voice right now, is a prime time premium subscriber of the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast app. Miles, Jordan, take us out of here with a smacker. I'm out.
Peace.
Hey, Rat. My name is Denny. I just want to say, sorry I'm late for chiming in, but I cannot believe G Moody put that video up saying that he was dunking.
Yo, yo, Rat, what up? Wilbur, calling in from Atlanta. Shout out G Moody. Last name rhymes with duty. Yo, man, I got tired of living in FOMO. So I went premium. Hey, Rapper Boy, you the fucking sick fuck of the week. I just fucking paid for this fucking thing. This fucking thing is not letting me fucking act as your fucking piece of shit podcast. You fucking sick fuck.
Hey, man, my bad, yo. I kind of had an outburst about your fucking podcast not working. I did something wrong, I guess. I don't know, man. But I'm sorry. My apologies, sir. You're not a sick fuck anymore.
Yo, what's going on to the Rat Pack family? Shout out to Mike Rat and G Moody. Last name rhymes with duty. This is Kevin Tony checking in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Keep banging them hits out.
Yo, my man Mike Rap, what's up, bro? It's Andre, aka Dominican Dre on Instagram. Shout out to the I Ain't Rap for Stereo Podcast, man. Y'all the fucking best. Keep rocking and keep banging in on these haters' heads, man.
Hi, this is Rachel from Arizona, your biggest fan, Michael Rapaport and G Moody, last name rhymes with duty. I received my Butterstock You Fuck You t-shirt, and it looks absolutely amazing. Thank you, and keep up with the great content and the great show. Bye.
Rapaport, what's up? This is Ron Carter, calling from San Diego, California. Fucking hate it. What? We're moving back to New York City. Anyway, just want to shout you out. Love your show. I bought myself a warm butter t-shirt, the I Don't Fact Check, because I don't, and I'm a third grade teacher.
Yo, Mike Rapp, I love the app, bro. I just got one question for you and G Moody. What it takes, that dope? Big fan, man. Big fan, bro. Keep it up, man. It's your boy Don from Cali. One.
Yo, Rap, this is Wu State. What's up, G Moody? Hey, I called, man. We get some, the 50 World Map, man, the MOP on the podcast. And thank you for, you know, filling in that crack, that daily ear crack. All right, man, keep up the good work. Moody, you just fuck with the rim, man. I give you props, man. 49 years old, fuck what they saying. I got you. All right, fellas, good looking. Give me some more Latin Quarter stories, too, yo. All right, later.
Yo, Rapaport, what's cracking? You fucking awesome, bro. Fuck, crack me up. Say the funny shit. You and fucking Doty, Moody, whoever the fuck his name is. Keep doing you, Rapaport. All right? See you later.
Mr. Rapaport and Mr. Gerald Moody. This is Jordan Rivera calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Big, big fan of your podcast. Anyways, I want to cut to the chase and say, I am a millennial and I think you guys shit on millennials a little bit too much.
Hey, what's up, Rap? This is Eric of Philly. Big fan. Love the podcast. Best thing out there. I just had to call and comment when I heard the emergency podcast about, when the, Cavaliers won it and are going to the finals. And G. Moody, last time around to 30, had to come around and say that Michael Jordan is ranked third after LeBron and Kareem. Come on, son. You smoking, man. Oh, and by the way, that wasn't no dunk, G. Moody. Sorry, bro. We was rooting for you. That wasn't no dunk. Fuck you.
Hey, yo, Rap. Big fan, man. That's a premium podcast. But I gotta say, man, I know you're a huge NBA fan and I listen to your show every day, but it'd be nice if we can get a few MLB players on there. You know, we're not all basketball fans, my man. And this is Tom from Boston. Big listener. And love you guys. Thanks.
Rap, Moody, Dust Brothers, your boy Henny on the rocks. I got a hot take. Them young Boston boys, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, get back. Kyrie Irving will have more chips when it's all said and done than the so-called king of Cleveland, a.k.a. Leadland. Celtics is coming. I'm not even a Boston fan, but fuck it, the Celtics is coming.